Actually, it's one of the shortest verses or shortest portions of scripture. And Eli's like, why you got so many points for just the shortest amount of scripture when I read 100 verses and just had one point? I said, son, that's just how it is. Speaking of Elijah, tomorrow is his birthday. My baby turned 16. I'm getting old. And so we're proud of him. We've been looking in the book of Numbers. We'll be in chapter 6 today. We'll finish it up. Specifically, we'll start in verse 22 and look at a blessing that's there. As I mentioned last week, this is one of my favorite portions of all scripture. Sometimes it's called the Aaronic blessing or an Aaronic benediction because it was the priest Aaron who was to give this prayer over the crowd or over the individuals. And so this morning I want to look at a blessed life, being blessed. And so let's look together in chapter 6. We'll start in verse 22 and read through verse 27. It says this. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses. Tell Aaron and his sons how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and protect you. May Yahweh make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh look with favor on you and give you peace. In this way, you will pronounce my name over the Israelites, and I will bless them. This morning, I want to talk about blessing. And like I said, I've got a few points to make. The first thing that I want us to see in this short text is that where our blessing come from. Blessings come from the Lord. Where does it start? Where does it originate? Where do blessings come from? And if we think about it and if we talk about it and look at the text and read scripture, we see that blessings come from the Lord. We see here in this text, when I read it, when it talks about the way the actual blessing that's pronounced in the version that I read, it uses the name Yahweh. Your version may say the Lord, and if you look at it, it'll be in all capital letters, even though it may be smaller caps. That means that the word behind that in the Hebrew is the personal name of God, Yahweh. And so some translations, like the one I read this morning, will say Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yours, and how you've probably heard it growing up, it'll read something like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face, lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. That word there, Lord, is Yahweh. God's personal name is used three times in this passage. In other words, make no mistake where the blessings come from. Make no mistake who is giving the blessing. It is Yahweh who is the giver of the blessing. God is the one who gives the blessing. The originator, the one who where it begins is with God. Sadly, we like Israel tend to look for blessings in all the wrong places. In Jeremiah chapter 2 is talking about how Israel had abandoned God and began looking for blessings in a different place. And so we read this scripture. I'm going to read it for you, and you're going to see that it may seem like something that's really mundane or something that we don't have a connection with. We go and we turn on our faucet and we have water. Well, in those days, if you live in a desert country, water is a very, very, very precious thing. And so you want to save water. You want to create cisterns and things like that to have water so that you, when you receive water, it is a blessing. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, it says, my people have committed a double evil. They've abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they've dug cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that cannot hold water. Israel abandoned God and said, we're going to do it on our own. Instead of waiting for the blessing of God to take care of them, they say, you know what? We don't need God. We're going to dig our own cisterns. We're going to dig our own wells. And God says, you know what? These wells don't hold water because they're cracked. You've done a double evil. You've abandoned me and you've gone out on your own. How many times do we do the same thing? We stop looking to God as the author and the source of our blessing. Instead of finding blessing in the Lord, Israel looked elsewhere, and we do the same thing. We often look for blessings in our possessions. We look for significance in things. We look for a blessing in a home, or maybe some clothes, or a car, or the latest phone, or whatever the latest electronics is. Those things we think bring us blessing. They make us happy. You think, if I just had those things, man, I would be blessed. And then we get those things and we quickly grow bored because they're not really what gives us the blessing. Perhaps some of us find blessing or seek for blessing instead of in things, but in relationships, a spouse or a child, maybe a friend. Maybe it's social standing and respect from others are the things that you find to be your blessing. In the truth of the matter of the whole thing, though, is that God is the source of the blessing. God is the source of where our blessings come from. He is the source of all the blessings we receive. And knowing Him is the greatest blessing possible. Don't look for God in the idols of our lives, the things, the possessions, the toys, the relationships, the jobs, the money, the prestige, all those different things that we tend to supplant and supplement for God. The blessing comes from God. Don't replace God. But what is a blessing? If blessings come from the Lord, what is the blessing? And the truth is that knowing God is the blessing. Knowing Him is the blessing. The blessing doesn't lie in having it all. The blessing doesn't lie in the toys and in the relationships and in the way people see you and the stuff you have. If that's not the blessing, what is it? Well, the priestly benediction here, what they are supposed to read, tells us that the blessing lies in face-to-face relationship with the Lord, experiencing His protection and His favor. It says, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. God provides you for what you need, and He protects us from harm. There's nothing wrong with desiring to be provided for. There's nothing wrong with having desire to be protected. But God's blessing is so much more than a full fridge and a warm blanket. Knowing God is the blessing. The benediction goes on to say, may Yahweh make His face shine on you. May He look on you with favor. What does that mean? What is that euphemism? His face shine on you. The ability to see God. The ability to worship God. The ability to know God. To look at someone's full countenance was the ability to see them. Now we know that God is holy and that we can't fully look on God's countenance, but God gives us glimpses of Him. And to know God is the blessing. To know God face to face is what the blessing is. To have a heart that delights in Him, to have Him delight in us is the blessing. To live a life devoted solely to Him, a life that where you get to know His presence, that is the blessing. That is the blessing that we should desire. Not the stuff. If God didn't give you stuff, if God didn't give you air conditioning, if God didn't give you a fridge full of food, if God didn't give you nice clothes or a warm blanket, if God didn't give you all the stuff that you have and all the stuff that you like, would you still worship Him as God? Would knowing Him still be enough for you? that ability to know him is the true blessing. Think about that. The God of the universe who created everything, the God of the universe who is holy above all holiness, the God of the universe who has created beings at his beck and call, the God of the universe who had all of that still created mankind. He still created you. He still knows you. He knows how many hair is on your head. He knows how many times you breathe. He's the one who makes your heart pump. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. That is God's lifting up his face, his countenance upon you, and bringing you peace. Really getting to know him in an intimate way, through his word, through prayer, through time with him. How do we receive that blessing? How do we receive that? Blessings come not by work, but by grace and by mercy. We receive the blessing out of grace and mercy. You don't deserve the blessing. There's nothing you can do. There's no action. There's not enough money you can give. There's not enough good you can do. There's not enough love in your heart that you can make God love you more. There's not enough love in your heart. There's not enough things you can do. There's not enough money you can give that'll say, you know what? My goodness is better than my evilness. You get to know God because God is gracious. You get to know God because God is merciful. You don't earn it. You don't appease God. You can't pay him off. Lots of religions think, you know what, if I just do this for God, God will be good to me. You see this in the old myths where, you know what, if I sacrifice this animal, God will do this. If I do this for this God, if I bless him, then God will be good to me. And it exists today in modern religions as well. People still sacrifice. May not be a chicken or a bull or a goat, but people are still sacrificing things and saying, God, I hope you are loving to me because I've been good to you. And that's a foolish and messed up way of understanding God. Because God cannot be appeased. God cannot be bought off. God is a holy God. But instead, he gives us his grace. And instead, he gives us his mercy. And we wrestle our lives sometimes trying to get this grace. Sometimes we wrestle trying to get this peace. We look at scripture and there's a story of a guy who wrestled a lot. We look at Jacob, and Jacob wrestles his brother Esau out of the birthright. He wrestles Esau out of the blessing. He wrestles his father into giving the blessing to him instead of Esau. And he runs away and he goes and he finds his love, the love of his life, Rachel. And he begins to wrestle with Rachel's father for his daughter. And he gets the old switcheroo where he gets one daughter instead of the other. And he continues to wrestle. Instead of for Leah, he wrestles for Rachel. And for 14 years, he works his life and finally gets Rachel. And then he continues to work for his uncle or for Laban, and he wrestles his sheep away from him. And finally, one night, Jacob meets up with God. And he begins to wrestle with God. And he's wrestling with him. He's fighting against him. And all night they wrestle. And Jacob gets tired. And Jacob gets burnt. He gets worn out. He grabs a hold of God. And God says, let me go. And Jacob says, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. And Jacob has nothing but the ability to hold on to God. And finally, when he stripped away the birthright, when you strip away the blessing of his father, when you strip away the wives and the children, and you strip away the possessions, all that Jacob had left was the ability to hold on to God. When God said, when Jacob said, "Bless me," God does something very ironic. He touches his hip and pops it out of joint. And so the rest of Jacob's life, he walks around with a limp, unable to wrestle anymore. You and I often wrestle for stuff. We wrestle for honor. We wrestle for prestige. We wrestle for toys. We wrestle for relationships. We wrestle for any other thing that you can fill in the blank with. And sadly, we oftentimes forget that the true genesis, the true source of what gives us a blessing is not stuff, but it's God and knowing God. Jacob wrestled. And finally, he found out that when you hold on to God, that's when the blessing comes. God is the one who initiates the blessing. Notice here in the text, God tells Moses to tell Aaron, this is how you tell the people, or this is how you bless the people. God is the one who taught the blessing to Aaron. God is the one who initiated. God is the one who brought this to pass. Again, it's because God's grace and his mercy. And our greatest blessing came through a curse. Scripture says that any man who hangs on a tree is cursed. And about 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was lifted up and he was nailed to a tree. And he bore one of the worst deaths possible. He bore what is one of the biggest curses of the day. The ultimate curse of his time. And God looked at him, and he vindicated him. All that he taught, all that he did, everything he said about himself, everything he said about who God was, God vindicated him by raising him from the dead and telling the world what he said was true. He really was my son. He really is God. What he taught about me is the truth. That God is the one who is the blessing. And the curse that was put on Christ, we get to have the blessing of relationship with God. Because of the curse that's put on Christ, you and I get to have God's countenance shine upon us. Because of what Jesus did on the cross and through the resurrection, you and I get to know God in a way that only brings us blessing. Today we're going to celebrate what Jesus did on that cross and through his resurrection, how he gave his life. We're going to celebrate the body that he gave and the blood that he shed. We're going to do that through the Lord's Supper. But as the guys come and they get things ready, I want to give you some time to respond, some time to focus on the Lord, some time to spend in prayer, respond to what you've heard. Is Jesus the blessing that you've been waiting for? Is he the blessing you've been desiring? And if not, make him it today. Father, we thank you that you bless us by letting us know you. That through your grace and through your mercy, we get to see you face to face. As we open up your scripture, as we read, we get to see who you are in the pages of scripture as they come to life. as you teach us, as the Holy Spirit illuminates your word for us, we thank you that we get to know you. We thank you that you lift up your face toward us, that you give us your peace, that you give us your favor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As Aaron would pray over the crowd, so I pray over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.